Episode 22, The Impossible Mission, Mission Impossible.
That shit gets you excited.
It does a little bit there. Little Danny Elfman for you. But Mission Impossible got the new release coming out. We're going to talk about the original 1996. But before we get all of that, because what you drinking, bud?
Man, so my apologies. I got a lot of hate mail from gagging on Remus last episode. So I decided to go with three fingers. I've been drinking on and off all day, but
attaboy.
Attaboy. And so this is Buffalo Trace. I have a place that has it on the shelf all the time. I'm not like, I know it's not like the fancy if the fancy, but it's got a great price point at $29.99, and it's a tasty bourbon. I have no problem with it. $29.99 makes me happy. And so I find it whenever I want at this joint, and so that's what I'm drinking, and I'm happy about that. So yes. What about you, bud?
I'm still on the ultra. Crushed a bottle of the champagne we spoke of last episode. Did that yesterday.
How did it ship?
That was good.
Great.
It was excellent. Yeah. Mrs. Gus was very satisfied.
Excellent. That's very important, I'm sure.
So yeah, it was really good. So, but I still haven't got to the store. I want to say I've been really busy, and I kind of have been, but honestly, I've driven past Publix, I don't know, half dozen times since our last recording, which wasn't that long ago.
No, I like this quick turnaround.
Quick. We're talking quick turnaround on this one. All right. So,
You haven't had a chance to, you just haven't taken an opportunity to purchase other alcoholic beverages.
Exactly. And I have a feeling there'll be a switch. There might be a switch
tonight.
Coming. Yeah, maybe.
Ooh.
We'll see. It is a work night, so we'll see how that turns out. Although, as mentioned in the last podcast, I have a new job that I'm starting August 1st. I really don't have any responsibility until then. So,
let's hope your current boss doesn't hear that. I guess it doesn't matter.
Nah, he doesn't. He doesn't.
Ah, I understand. Mrs. Cousin Bailey is in her home state of Mississippi for the next two nights. And so I'm unfortunately do not have anyone to let me know that I need to stop drinking. So
I don't think that's unfortunate. That sounds good.
Unfortunate for, I guess, my day, because I do have to deal with the cheer-in tomorrow. You know what? Que sera, sera is what I always say.
Yeah, yeah.
Look where that's gotten me. So, anyway, so, yeah, I'm loving life with my Buff Trace, baby.
Like it. Love it. All right, so back to the movie 96, Mission Impossible. Tom Cruise. I believe this is the second Cruise movie we've done.
Days of Thunder.
We did Days of Thunder.
Did we do anything else?
I don't think we have.
Oh, okay, great.
But he has a collection that we should probably really get into. No, I was just going to say, you know, like Tom Cruise, I don't think of him as like this awesome actor, this great actor. Like I have to watch his movies, but he's made so many good movies. Right. It's incredible. Yeah. Incredible. Yes.
I know we could literally have a podcast on just talking briefly about all the movies we'd like, and it would probably be just as long as the longest one we've done. But I totally agree with you. I don't know if he's a bad actor or not, because I believe every character he's in. Like there are certain actors or actresses where it's like I'm like sitting there going, that's Ben Affleck. Like, and I'm sorry, spoiler alert, Ben Affleck is one of those people where I can't not see him when I'm watching the movie. And from time to time, Angelina Jolie has fallen into that trap when I feel like she's mailing it in. But Tom Cruise, it's like I'm always believing he is that person he is portraying. And I don't know what it is. Does he have an unremarkable face? You know, like, I mean, he's got a distinct look.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in this movie, he's got phenomenal hair. And actually, that is a theme in a lot of the Mission Impossible movies, which I know you've Oh, well, actually, have you seen any other Mission Impossible movies?
No, just this
No,
one. Just this
really.
one. Yeah. And I think I've
Well,
only seen this one before the rewatch, maybe once or twice. That's it.
really? All right. I told you in the green room, this is one of the first DVDs my folks bought with my nudging, you know? And so we used to watch it all the time. I'm a huge fan of the movie. It took me like 2 days to do a rewatch though, just because I knew everything that was going to happen. And I'm not like bragging. I just mean it was having a hard time holding my interest because of that fact. But I enjoy the movie. Let me put a pin in this, but at the very end of the movie, the suit he's wearing, suit tie shirt combo, it has a special place in my heart. And you know, whatever, nobody cares about that. But that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, Tom Cruise, like I believe he's Maverick. I believe he is Cole Trickle. I believe he's Ethan Hunt. I had a harder time believing that he was Colonel von Stauffenberg or whatever from Valkyrie, but regardless,
Lieutenant Caffey.
yeah, Lieutenant Caffey probably could almost single-handedly took down the defense of our nation in that particular universe. So
He
yeah,
did.
good
He
for
did.
him. Yeah, great, super cool, Caffey. Thanks for ruining the Joint Chiefs.
So I have a question for you.
Let's hear it, man. Can't wait.
So you slipped in Angelina Jolie there. Were you trying to get to her dad, who's also in this movie?
That's a hell of a point. No, I wasn't. That was a total accident. John Voight, he plays Jim Phelps. Spoiler alert, he is a fucking bad guy, which is weird. Emmanuel Bal plays his wife. Henry Zerny, he plays Kittredge, Canadian fella. You can hear it in your voice, in his voice, once you realize that, eh? Ving Rhames, I love him. I love Ving Rhames.
I do too.
Ving Rhames seems like, I hope he's as nice as I think he might be. You know how you're never supposed to meet your, not your heroes, but whatever. I would love to meet Ving Rhames, and I would love to know if he's as nice as he seems he is.
Do you think he's nice from these movies? Like, where are you getting this niceness from? Because from Pulp Fiction, he was not a nice guy.
No. But he, like, I've seen him in other movies. Yes, this movie, he's kind of got a sweetness about him, but he, like, almost like a teddy bearness about him. But he is also, he, like the part in the movie when he realizes that Tom Cruise or Ethan Hunt does not want to let the MacGuffin out of, you know, out into the open, he's on board with that. He knows that's a good idea. It just, I don't know, and I believe him. That's a character, that's an actor I believe he is these people in his roles. He makes me want an Arby's sandwich. I'm not going to have one, but he makes me want one from the commercials.
Great voice actor.
Quite. Jean Reno, he's the professional, Leon the professional from The Professional. Let me see how many times I can say The Professional. Vanessa Redgrave, she plays Max, the arms dealer. Kristin Scott Thomas plays one of the dead IMF agents in the beginning, along with Emilio Estevez. And then there's another couple other people in this movie that I'm probably skipping over. I think, am I correct? Did I see Die? What's his name?
Yes, Dale Dye.
Dale
Yes.
Dye. Yeah,
Dale Dye is in
he
this.
played the second in command to Kittredge.
Yes, correct.
And I was like, I because as often happens, I fall into watching Band of Brothers. And not only is he in that movie, but he's a military technical advisor because he actually was in the military.
Yeah, pretty good for a reporter from the military to become a
He was just a
war.
reporter. Oh, I mean, not that they weren't very important to the cause.
He started out as something else and then became a reporter. Like, I think, I mean, like, he was wounded in, I think, the Tet Offensive and stuff like that. But yeah, he was like,
Why did I say just a reporter? I'm
he
sorry.
was a
I hope I don't
reporter.
get
He was
on
like, he
somebody's
was like,
list.
he was like, what's his name from Full Metal Jacket?
Yeah.
The Joker.
Joker. Oh, God. Well, I mean, Joker's fine, but kind
But
of
yeah.
reminds, I don't know. What do you think about, well, man, we should do that movie sometime. I'd love to get your thoughts. Not that you were ever in the military. I don't know.
Yeah, I was.
Okay, I wasn't sure if you were willing to
Long time.
tell that people. Yeah, but I know this. I'm saying I was trying to keep this from the world.
Okay.
He was in the Marines.
He was in the Marines for 20 years. He was.
31 major combat operations. Numerous decorations, including the Bronze Star of Valor, three Purple Hearts.
Yeah. He was a reporter.
13 years as an enlisted Marine, rising to the rank of Master Sergeant, chosen to attend Officer Candidate School, and was later appointed as a warrant officer. Converted his commission and
Right.
what
That
is
makes no sense what you just said right there.
appointed a war was appointed a warrant officer. I don't know what that means.
Well, if you're selected to go to OCS, you're not a warrant officer. You are a commissioned officer.
He later converted his commission and was a captain when he was sent to Beirut with the multinational peacekeeping force 8283. Served a variety of assignments around the world along the way, managing to graduate with a okay. I went to Maryland, a loose cannon. Oh, he worked for Soldier of Fortune after his retirement. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I just
I
know he
don't
was a
know.
reporter. I don't know how long he was a reporter. I don't know if he actually like, I mean, he obviously saw combat, but was he just defending himself or was he actually in a, doing, I don't, these things I don't know. And it sounds like what he did was enlisted to warrant officer to warrant to Captain 03. That's just an, it's a, not a normal program, but it's a program that they have. So, but
Beautiful. Well, whatever.
yeah, whatever. They'll
He
die.
seems tough.
Small. Small role.
Yeah, maybe I shouldn't have wasted 5 minutes talking about the guy who was in the movie for less than
Yeah.
two.
Yeah.
Eh, what can you do? So yeah, I think we got the lay of the land on the acting. It
Yeah,
was
there's
direct.
some.
Oh, sorry,
Oh,
go
well,
ahead.
go. I just wanted to bring up a
Oh
couple things.
absolutely.
Emilio Estevez, uncredited.
Right.
And the reason for this, what I read, you may have read this too, was that they wanted someone famous. And surprise, they're in it in a cameo, and then surprise, they're going to be killed off like
Yeah.
very early in the movie. Tom Cruise was, I don't know if he hatched this plan, but he was on board with it, maybe with some other producers. But that's a big reason why Emilio Estevez wasn't credited. It was no slight to him or nothing. They just wanted to shock the audience that, oh my gosh, Emilio Estevez is dead.
He's dead.
Dead.
I want his family dead. I want his house burnt to the ground. The reason I'm saying that, this movie was directed by Brian De Palma, who directed The Untouchables, which is what I was just quoting right there.
Correct.
Brian De Palma's got a hell of a catalog. No? Would you
Yeah, no,
agree
he
or no?
does. He does. I would say that he's known for a lot, but I would say that I'm not necessarily a fan of all of his stuff.
What do you think about Scarface? I know you're older and mature now, but maybe you could, sorry, mature. Maybe you could
Matura?
just, shake off some of that I'm so sophisticated now and think Scarface, just it's a movie. What do you think?
I like Scarface.
But you hate his accent.
I hate his accent.
I
Yeah. I
can't
mean,
believe that got past any screening.
yeah.
Like, what were they
Yeah.
thinking?
I don't know. Because he, and then they try, and then they did it again in Carlito's Way.
Carlito's Way, which he also directed, which,
Yeah.
as I say, it's an alternate universe, unintentional sequel to Scarface, because he plays an older version, calmer version, which is the point in Carlito's Way that he is chilled out,
Right.
and all that shit.
Yeah. But I mean, I like Scarface. I mean, there's, I just got to get over Pacino's accent and
No, but there's like some cool moments.
oh
I love it
yeah.
being based in Miami. You're familiar with that town way more than I am. But I mean, the Colombians and their chainsaw and the
Yeah, that was intense.
yeah,
That
that
was
whole scene
intense.
and the way it was shot, Brian De Palma having like the camera or the camera go outside to where his idiot friend is flirting with Teeks, man, and that sweet little caddy. And then it comes back up and it's the chainsaw sound. I mean, That, I mean, that movie was legit. I didn't see Casualties of War. Never had any interest in seeing it. Bonfire of the Vanities, no. Did you ever see Raising Kane?
I did not.
It's a pretty intense movie. It's weird as hell,
Oh,
but
it's John Lithgow.
John Lithgow, in two times on off the top of my head, he plays a psychopath, and this is one of them.
Okay.
In
I'm a
fact,
big.
I can't even think of the other time.
That was Cliffhanger.
Cliffhanger, total
He
psycho.
was a psycho in Cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not the movie you were thinking of, though. I know that much.
No, but that, no, I mean, but I can't think of it off the top of my head anyways, but
Did you see Carrie?
I did see Carrie.
Okay.
That's not John Lithgow though, right? We're talking back to
That's,
Brian.
yeah, De Palma. Yeah.
Okay,
Yeah.
cool,
Did
cool,
you want
cool.
to stay on Lithgow? Okay.
No. Yeah, we need more segues. That's what the audience demands. No, Raising Kane though, man. That was some fucked up shit, man. Seriously. Snake Eyes, did you ever see that?
I saw it.
You hated it though.
Of course I did. Look who stars in it.
Oh my God. You call him Ridiculous Cage.
Ugh.
Ridiculous Cage.
Yeah, saw Snake Eyes. I once didn't like it.
I have forced myself to watch that a couple times. I just
Yeah.
You're right. I don't think it's. I think Cage might be the best part about the movie, which it's just so dumb.
It's not good. Yeah, it's not good.
I
Blacked
didn't see
out.
Mission to Mars.
You didn't see what?
Mission to Mars. I don't know what the fuck that
Didn't
is.
see that. No. I saw Black Dahlia. We
Tell me about
talked.
that.
We discussed in the green room.
We did, but.
Yeah, I know. But you know, this is like the genre. It's based on a true story and things of that nature. But it was just wasn't a good movie. Just wasn't. And it has Prime ScarJo.
Oof.
And it's like, yeah, okay, it still isn't great. So, I don't know if she's really known for her acting chops, but you know. But yeah,
You nailed
yeah.
it at Black Widow
Well, yeah.
movie you didn't see.
I did not see it. I did see her other one though. What was the one where she was like a USB stick?
Yeah, I didn't see it, but yeah.
Yeah, that was terrible too. Yeah, De Palma. I'm guessing De Palma had to win some awards. Oh yeah, he's got a bunch of awards.
Oh, he did Untouchables. That's what I was quoting earlier, and I really like Untouchables. That's a movie I could watch a lot. That was a, have you seen it? Are you familiar with it?
Oh, very, very familiar with
Oh,
it.
golly.
Yeah.
Okay,
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah, yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, I think the worst part of that movie is Costner.
Yeah. Do we not like Costner
No,
then?
I like Costner. He's fine in it. He just I think that everybody else in that movie outacted him in that movie.
Yeah. Well, Andy Garcia was incredible.
Awesome. He may have been my favorite character
Yeah. I mean,
in that.
obviously, Sean Connery is always going to be a.
Oh yeah, Connery's great, but he's Connery, right? Like, I
Yeah.
don't know.
Duh. He played, he
Yeah.
did a phenomenal job. What a surprise. But
Yeah.
Andy Garcia was outstanding in that movie. And
Yeah.
he's a. I don't want to know anything about his politics. I love him. I follow him on Instagram. He seems like a cool dude. Very in touch with his Cuban roots. And he is something like recently rewatched Godfather 3 just to kind of shake off my negative feelings about it. It's not a great movie,
It's no.
but he's a bright spot in it.
Yes, he is.
Aggression and his insanity in that movie, and then his loyalty and his toughness and the way he's willing to give up his cousin
Tough.
to be the leader of the.
I mean, how hard was that? That wasn't
It
a tough
shouldn't have been that
choice.
difficult. I mean, we're
No.
talking the 1970s here, right? I mean, it
Yeah.
wasn't like
No.
the 20s or
No.
the 19th century when that was,
It wasn't like they were the Amish mafia. It was the Italian mafia, you
Right. I
know?
mean, they had to have frowned upon incest, I mean, at some
Yeah.
point.
Yeah.
And Sofia Coppola, she's a wonderful lady, but is she worth having a three-headed child with? I don't think so. It's
No.
just, anyways, we're not talking about. Wow, that was a fucking tangent. Excuse me.
Yeah, we kind of went off there.
Yeah, well, Brian De Palma. I think he's a
Man.
great act, great director. I appreciate. I don't know if a great. I don't know what who is the great director anymore, because I'm such a so critical now that I'm a critic. But yeah, I mean, Brian De Palma, good, you
And
know.
I also want to throw out two names here from the
Yeah.
cast,
Okay.
which we already said, Kristin Scott Thomas, and then Igborga Dapkunate.
No.
I don't know how to pronounce her name. So these are two agents that die in the beginning. They're on Ethan's team. One is stabbed by Jean Reno, and then the other one's blown up by Claire.
Well, maybe Jim could have done that on his own.
Okay, maybe he could have. Maybe he could
No,
have,
no,
but.
no. I think you're absolutely right. And the funny part is, I didn't include her in my little list of names because I didn't know how to pronounce it.
Yeah,
So,
Igborga Dapkunate.
Borga de
She was
She was,
born in the USSR.
yeah. So,
But I just wanted to point out that both of those lovely ladies went on to star, not star. Well, Kristin Scott Thomas kind of did, but they both had pretty significant roles in the Silence of the Lambs series, the Hannibal series. So Kristin Scott Thomas was played a big part in Red Dragon. She was Ralph Fiennes' love interest.
it was the blind chick.
The blind chick. Yep. And then Igborg was the mom in Hannibal Rising. So
That bitch. Wait, did she leave them or did she get killed? Sorry, I
don't
don't.
remember. I don't remember. But yeah, so kind of crazy. They both got killed in this movie on the same team, and then went on to Hannibal, the Hannibal series. So
Yeah. That's.
you're not interested in that.
No, I
I can
am. I was just
tell.
thinking how gross it is, like the Hannibal movie. You know, the we already did Silence of the Lambs. I know it's not a horror movie, according to you and others, but it's scary as shit. And I more mean, like, while the concept of Hannibal Lecter out there running around, the Buffalo Bill part, you know, like a rando serial killer is, even though he wasn't random, is terrifying. But anyways, so yeah. Do you know Vanessa Redgrave? Does that name ring a bell to you? I know, I mean, I'm sure it rings a bell, but
So the name didn't ring a bell, but she rings a bell when I see her.
yeah.
And she was kind of trying to be a little bit too sexy for her age in this movie. She seemed like she was trying to be a little seductive, and it's like, you're on the wrong side of 60.
She's a well, I mean, you know. So, I don't know.
But why do you bring her up?
Just because she's got a million credits.
Wow. Okay.
She's a fairly well acclaimed. Sorry, there's a moth in here, and I have an issue with moths.
Atonement.
Yeah. You know what's funny? I'm like, I know Vanessa Redgrave. She was in Nip Tuck, but I'm like, I know her from something else. And I'm just like sliding through, and I'm like, saw it, didn't care, didn't care. You know, I'm like, oh, and she's just a very, I guess, well-respected actress. So good for her. But it doesn't really cross my desk very often.
What are your thoughts on Claire?
I really like her. Huge
Yeah.
fan. Yeah. I've got a thing about the French accent, though. So
Okay.
it's not really, I mean, I'm sure she's, turns out she'll be Belgium or some bullshit. Like, nope, she's from
No,
France.
she's
Whatever.
French. Yeah, she's
I
from
know.
France.
I just meant, you know, like, am I? I'm here. I am putting all my eggs in one basket. Yeah, I liked her. I mean, I liked her in the sense that I thought she was attractive. I thought the whole, like, I mean, we might as well get into the movie. The you know, Jim betrays his entire team, and then Ethan gets blamed for it. You know, and it turns out that Jim's wife is the only one who survives, and he never suspects her.
He suspected her at the beginning.
I thought he was just delusional.
I think he was suspecting her, and she convinced
Really?
him. Yeah.
She does have charms, certain charms. But I
Yeah.
thought that was weird. I don't know. I guess, like, she was ultra evil as well, like, willing to bang Ethan to keep him on board.
Well, John Voight did say that he knew that he could that she could seduce Ethan because he had already had a taste,
Yeah.
or something like that.
No, yeah,
Right.
he's already tasted the goods.
That's
I just mean, like, what are we What are we talking here? Like, why did she have to have sex with him that night?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it was the cloud of his judgment. Or so she
Yeah.
thought.
Yeah.
But like, he was already on to Jim before he had sex. So Ethan was just like, "Hey,
Yeah.
I know that they're both in on it. Let me
Yeah.
have sex with this chick I've been coveting for years."
Yes.
So good for him. I so like, what are we doing here? The first scene is in, not the first scene, but the first major scene in the movie. They're in Prague, and I have been to Prague, and I have seen that building and the gate where a bunch of people get stabbed. And this was 25 years ago, last month, and I took like an entire roll of camera of pictures of the building, of the gate. It's not the U.S. Embassy.
It's because of this movie, right?
Because of this movie, yes.
Okay. All right.
That was 4 years later, 2000. I was in Prague with a friend of ours, in Europe, and I was like, "Oh my God, that's the building." We saw it from the Charles Bridge, which is cool, and or from the bridge that was nearby. I don't know if it was the actual Charles Bridge, but which we did see. But I was like, "Oh my God!" And I was like, "That's the building." So I'm like taking pictures, taking pictures. There's the gate. Take the pictures. Take the pictures. And I was just like, I mean, I still have the pictures. It's lovely, but I mean, obviously, what a waste of time. Yeah, I'm 21 years old. What do you want me to do? I was. So that was a neat little personal experience. But the entire team gets wiped out in like one night. And then Ethan goes to meet up with Kittredge, the guy we were talking about earlier, Henry Zierney, at which point he realizes he's the only suspect, and so he blows up that fish
Yeah,
whatever with the
fish
thing,
tank restaurant.
and
Yeah.
he does like a now classic. I don't know how many times he had done it before, but like the classic running Tom Cruise running scene,
Yeah.
which was pretty legit. I thought the whole that moment. Like I know how intense it is, but I thought it was great. They had the Dutch angle cameras, like the low cameras going up at Kittredge's face and at Ethan's face to kind of, I don't know exactly what you'd call it and like what the point is, but obviously it made the scene pretty intense. Like showing, all right, Hunt, let's just cut to the chase or whatever.
Yeah.
And I just and then he uses the that gum.
Emilio gave him the
Hasta
red and green.
lasagna, don't get any on ya.
Yeah.
That's what he says. I say it all the time. It's a lot of fun.
Yep.
Everybody loves this
So there
movie.
was actually supposed to be stunt doubles for that scene, but De Palma was like, it doesn't look realistic enough. So, hey Tom, are you willing to do this? And he's like, yep. And so that may have started Tom Cruise's I'm going to start doing my own stunts thing. So,
Well, whatever started it. I love it because I have, yeah, I know you said you haven't seen the other Mission Impossibles. I've seen all up to the most recent one. It was released in two parts called Dead Reckoning and Final Reckoning or whatever, but and I will watch them. I'm interested. But I've seen them all, and he does some insane stunts in these movies. And I have seen behind the scenes on how he did them. And one of them is when he is holding on to the side of a C-130. And they had to digitally remove the cables that were holding him on, of course, but he actually was holding on to a plane that was taking off and in the air. I mean, just insane.
yeah, that's nuts.
Yeah. And then, he did a lot of all the work in Top Gun Maverick was real. I'm not saying he was flying the planes, but all the character, I mean, all the actors were literally in modified jets to look like they're flying. I thought that's awesome. And obviously it was because of Cruise. So yeah, I'm glad he's done all that because he's had a I don't to be honest with you, like, I mean, they could digitally put his face on anybody with the bullshit that they can do these days, but just the knowledge he's doing it makes the movies more interesting to me. I don't know if that makes sense, but honestly, there is some decent intrigue in Ghost Protocol, Rogue Nation, and the one that Henry Cavill's in. I can't remember what it's called, but there's actually some really good story in those movies, and coupled with awesome action. Did you ever watch the TV show for this when you were a kid?
No.
I
Well,
watched.
we weren't born yet. Were you
No,
talking
but
about the when they came back out with it in the 80s or whatever?
yeah,
Yeah,
the
no,
80s,
I
not the.
didn't.
I watched it a little bit. I think that piqued my interest to see it. But the idea of wearing like a life like unmissable, or I mean, excuse me, unmistakable is not really the way I'm putting it, but like flawless facial mask and voice thing is so cool to me. It's obviously can be
Yeah.
used for evil, so I'm not like saying I
Yeah.
hope everyone can do it, but that I remember from the 80s, but then they used the technology in this to make it look cooler. I liked a lot, so.
Yep. There's actually, just speaking of it, we probably should have touched on it. The original cast, in the original series in the 60s that went spanned to the 70s, and then they restarted it again for a couple of years in the 80s. They wanted that cast, like they asked them to come back and play roles in this film, and they all were like, no, because they all get killed off. They were all going to get killed off at the
Oh,
beginning. And they're
right.
like, no, this is not good. And then it was, who's the oh my gosh, I can't remember. It's a famous actor
Martin
who
Landau.
Martin Landau. So they asked Landau, and he was like, no, he was like, this is not a mission movie, a mission show, because it's all about the mission and being secretive and getting in where you shouldn't and this and that. And he's like, this is an action movie. This
Right.
isn't mission. So he was like, I'm out on that as well. So it's just pretty interesting
I like that.
their thoughts on it.
Well, my thoughts are that I think it's totally legitimate that he has that concern because he's absolutely 100% right. I mean, there is intrigue in the movie, but I was being familiar with the show, the reboot, of course, from the 80s. I was like, wait, everybody's dead? Like, that's the story? Like, that they're going with like a mole hunt as opposed to, but at the same time, like the show was like a half hour long or like maybe an hour. It makes sense that they'd have to drag it out into like a real thing. But I did find a little bizarre that it wasn't about the team infiltrating something and blah 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 blah. It they made it like way grander.
Yeah.
But I mean they had to for the movie, I guess. What do
And
you think?
I think this too. So it like it, they talked about this as well, that Paramount wanted to tie up Cruise to a franchise. And so they pitched him on Mission. So he's like, yeah, let's do it. So they already knew this was going to be a franchise. And so
Right.
how I'm looking at it is like, okay, the first movie, they're going to need to establish things, right? So let's kill off this old stuff. We're going to start bringing in new people, right? So Ving Rhames, I know that Jean Reno didn't work out, but at least Ving Rhames, and I know, like, isn't Simon Pegg part of that now? And like, I think there's a host of people that are part of the new team, and they had to build that up from the beginning. So I understand why they just wiped everybody out.
I totally agree with you. They had to start over and like, he it, there's a phrase they use a lot, and I could be 100% certain that this is either never mentioned in the intelligence community or is a t intelligence community word, but disavowed. Like, I have no idea. It sounds like such a cool word.
Right.
I'm sure the intelligence community would never use a word like this, but. But my point is that they had to, kind of break him down and then build him up. But then that's the funny part is like you've never seen the other movies. So many of the other movies, it's like, where's Ethan Hunt? We gotta stab him. Oh wait, he's saving the world right now. It's like,
Yeah.
it's cool that they this the stunts are legit, the special effects get way better, and the the stories are very compelling, but it's kind of the same story every time. It's like he's on the run and no one can help him. He's the only one who knows what's going on, but with the help of a couple, with a couple select few, he's gonna figure it out and save the world. And that's almost what happens in every one of them. So it actually is, wow. I wish that hadn't been pointed out to me because it's a little tiring. But again, the movies are worth seeing. The movies are worth like seeing because of the aforementioned, effects, story, acting, action.
So I just want to touch on something you said, just to back it up just real quick. You said that they're all kind of the same. I think that's true for all spy-ish movies. I mean, if you look at the Bournes, I think, it's the same, like, hey, where's Ethan Hunt? Hey, where's Jason Bourne? Right? It's the same thing, no matter what's, I don't know if you want to put Bond in this category or not, but
Yeah, no, that's a good point. That's a great point.
they're all kind of the same. It is what it is.
It just get that gives me a new perspective, and I can be less critical. Now I can just love them for what they are.
And I mean, I think that's, I think, it's probably something I would say towards the end of it, but that's probably the moral of the story here. This movie is what it is, and you either like it or you don't. That's, I don't think there's much nuance to it.
No,
So,
you're right. Yeah, you're right. The only difference is who's the bad guy that Ethan's trying to expose, who is, intentionally or otherwise cost him his job. And he needs to reavow himself or undisavow himself. But I'm looking forward to this. Speaking of Bonds, are you caught up in the James Bond world, or is that a laugh or a joke? Okay, so I guess not.
I am not. I'm not caught up. But I do have a question about this movie.
Yeah, no, please continue, man. Let's talk about this movie.
So Kittredge,
Yes.
towards the end of the film where they capture Max, and she's basically like, I'll have the best lawyers in the world, do whatever, like it's I'm basically untouchable. And he's like, I don't think we'll need to bring the legal system into this. Do you think, and maybe this happened later on, I don't know, because I haven't seen anything past this movie. Do you think like he's actually trying to like stop her from doing her nefarious things? Or do you think like he's maybe trying to cut a deal or maybe get in on the action?
Oh, interesting. You know what, honestly, I don't remember seeing Kittredge again until this most recent movie, part one of these. Because he has a different like handler or person in charge. Like Anthony Hopkins is that person in, and also it's weird. It's like they are part of CIA, but they're their own thing in other movies. Like, other people who are at some point bosses of theirs. I hate to, I don't know how else to put it. Anthony Hopkins, Lawrence Fishburne, the guy who played, oh my God. He was in The Patriot, and I'm not the big bad guy, but like, oh God.
The guy who played Cornwalls?
Cornwallis. I cannot believe that name escaped me. I'm sorry. We need to do The Patriot.
Me too. And I can't believe I can't remember his real name.
Yeah, no, his real name's flustering me right now. I would have gone with that. Who else? Angela
Tom something.
Bassett. Yeah, Tom Wilkinson.
Tom Wilkinson. There you go.
Yeah, thank you. That was teamwork. Alec Baldwin plays somebody. I mean, I'm saying like they it's almost like Harry Potter, where some different person is playing, not playing the same role necessarily, but like filled in, like for the professor for the Defense Against the Dark Arts. I know you've never seen Harry Potter, but so I found that kind of funny, that I did see Henry Zierney in the first part of the last two movies. So That's interesting. I just took it to mean like they were just gonna use her contacts to like, I didn't think anything beyond what the CIA already does that is outside the legal bounds. I didn't think anything beyond that. He just seemed like such a by the book nerd,
Okay.
government stooge, which we need, I don't know. What did you think? You read something into it, I guess.
No, I was just wondering because I'm like, okay, that line that he said,
Maybe we'll leave the corpse out of this.
right? That could mean many different things.
I think that they're just like, she's got so many contacts. She's an arms dealer.
Right.
And they all thought, everyone thought she was a dude
Yeah.
until this moment. In fact, it was supposed to be a guy. I don't know how Vanessa Redgrave got the job, but they had it written down as a, I mean, I don't think it was a casting couch situation.
It wasn't a
She
what's his
blew away to
name?
the Kamala Harris. Wait, well, I'm sorry,
No,
what
no,
were you
no.
saying?
Who's
I got
the
edit that out. Yeeps.
who, who's the who's the that's not getting edited out, by the way. It's gonna be too
I
hard to
didn't think
find.
so.
Okay.
Damn it.
No, the producer. It's at Weinstein. Was Harvey Weinstein is
Harvey
was he on this
Paltrow? Oh
was he
no.
on this movie at all? Maybe
Oof,
that's how she
man.
got the job.
God. I mean, what about Helen Mirren when she was in her 60s? But she didn't have a problem with that.
Who, me?
Yeah.
No, I didn't have a problem with it.
But I'm saying Vanessa Redgrave, you didn't think she was at least moderately attractive at 66?
She was okay.
All right.
Mirren was better.
Yeah, well, I mean, she is aces.
I mean, no Sophia Loren, but you know.
She's not Sophia Loren.
Yeah.
Helen Mirren was in Excalibur. She's not even in this movie, though. So please stop, Cousin Bailey.
She was not.
No, there was something you said came up, but what do you think about Ving Rhames? Because I know you know how I feel about Ving, but in this movie in general, what is your thoughts?
I love Ving Rhames.
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen him in a bad role. Even when he was being, because he was cast in, we just talked about it was a Sandler movie. In
Yeah.
our last one, it's Larry and Harry or whatever it's called. But
Married.
so he plays a homosexual firefighter. Like he's in the closet and then comes out.
Because of them.
Yeah, like he
That's
gets
cool.
them. Yeah, they get him to come out and like, man, he nails that role. Like he's hilarious in it.
Good.
Probably not safe for TV these days. But Chuck and Larry, that's the name of the movie.
Chuck and Larry.
Yeah, I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry. But no, I mean, and of course, I absolutely love him as Marcellus. Just phenomenal. I'm trying to think of other things that I've seen him in.
Yeah, I love, I mean, while we're thinking about that, I love that he is part of this series. Like, he is in every single one of them
Yeah.
after this,
Yeah.
including this. I'm sorry. I mean, but I mean, he's in all of them. And I love that he got that opportunity. I never saw Bringing Out the Dead. Did you?
No.
That was a Scorsese movie. It also had your boy Ridiculous Cage in it. I know you hate, so you might have seen.
Wow, he went to Juilliard,
I bet he
didn't
did.
he? Yeah,
Oh, he was in, I was about to say, Con Air.
he was in
Of
Con
course, you
Air.
haven't seen it. Why would
No,
you
I've
even
seen
like
Con
it?
Air.
No, you hate it, so stop.
Well, I've seen it. Doesn't mean
You haven't seen it.
yeah.
Whatever.
What else was he in? Rosewood was good. I feel like I've seen Out of Sight. Bring Out the Dead, not that one. Dawn of the Dead. He was really good in Dawn of the
Oh,
Dead.
Dawn of the Dead. Saw that in the theater. That was
Yeah.
good.
Yeah, he was really good in that one.
I think about that scene all the time where she's like stitching him up and she was supposed to be stitching on rubber and she actually stuck him and he
Oh,
didn't.
really?
And that was like his genuine reaction was what they caught on film.
Oh, wow. Did not
Yeah.
know that.
No, I mean, it's horrible too, that appropriate needle
Yeah.
pass.
I'm looking. Man, he has a lot of credits. Holy cow, does that guy have some credits?
Yeah. I love that he and like and while we were sitting here, an Arby's commercial came up.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, I was like, dude, maybe I just need to try Arby's again. I'm not going to, but I haven't had it since middle school, but
Do you know what Ving Rhames, what his middle name is?
no, damn it. I know what his first name is because I was curious about that since Jump Street, but I
What's
do
his
not.
first name?
Irving.
Irving, yeah. Ving. Ving short for
Ving.
Irving.
I think he chose well.
Yeah.
What is his middle name?
Ramses.
Irving Ramses Rames.
Yes. I like the Ramses.
Yeah, he should have just been Ving Ramses.
Yeah.
Of course, he's probably a porn star with that name. But what a
Probably
porn star he would have been.
got the goods.
I'm sure. Because of his stature.
Yeah, he's 6'2", 6'3", something like that.
Jack, motherfucker.
He is. He's big boy. Yeah. Oh, here you go.
Here we go.
So before he went to Juilliard, he studied at SUNY Purchase,
Oh.
where fellow acting student gave him the nickname Ving. So he didn't even choose it. It was Stanley Tucci, who was
Whoa.
the other student who gave him the nickname Ving.
What do you think about Stanley Tooch?
I
You like
like
the
Tooch.
Tooch?
I like the
Yeah.
Tooch. I think he's pretty good.
I don't, yeah, obviously, he and I may not align in other ways,
Oh,
but
yeah. No,
but
I
no,
appreciate
I'm
his
a
work.
huge fan of his. Yes,
Yeah,
I
I appreciate
celebrate
his
his
work.
catalog.
Yeah, exactly.
He
Yeah.
was he was he in did you ever see that movie with David Caruso? And Nicolas Cage,
And Nick
so
Cage, I know one you're talking
you
about.
understand, certainly would not have seen that movie.
Two of my favorite actors.
Listen, yes. Oh my God, Ving Rhames was in this movie.
He?
Yeah, he played a DEA agent or something. He
What's
had
the
a
name?
small role. Dawn, Dead, Rising, Red. Oh God, now I have to flip and look it up. This is good
Danger, bring
radio.
out the dead.
No. What David Caruso, he can't have many more roles than the fewest number of roles as anybody in this.
Yeah, somehow we got on David Caruso.
Yeah, but Ving Rhames is in it, so I'm
Okay. So there you're telling
Kiss
me
of
there's a
Death.
nexus. Kiss
Kiss
of
of
Death.
Death.
Oh, yeah. I think I turned that one off.
I can't remember even why I brought it up.
Yeah.
Samuel L. Jackson's in it. I mean, Helen Hunt. These are not
Michael Rapaport, Stanley
Matt
Tucci.
Stanley Tooch. The Tooch
Yeah,
is in
the
that. Yes,
Tooch.
he plays a dickhead. Whatever. Doesn't matter. Let's see. Jean Reno. I don't really know him from
Yes.
a terrible amount of movies, but obviously I know him from the big one.
The Professional.
Professional. Ronin. I'm a huge fan of this movie called Ronin. I don't know.
Ronan's
That's from
good.
98. Are you
Yep.
familiar with it?
I
Okay.
am. Yep.
I doubt it'll make it to this list unless it like we do like a compilation of movies,
Yeah.
underappreciated movies
Yeah,
podcast.
there's more De Niro did that's better than Ronan.
He was in this movie called French Kiss. Have you ever seen it?
French Kiss. Was that with
Meg
Meg
Ryan.
Ryan? Yes. Yes.
Kevin Kline plays a American actor, plays a French swindler.
Good gosh, Jean Reno is 76 years old. Old bastard. Also, he is in the Pink Panthers.
Yes.
I actually love those movies.
I've never seen them.
No?
Huge fan of the cartoon.
Okay.
But the commercials kind of the I didn't appreciate, and I'll give them a shot at some point, but I didn't appreciate Steve Martin's French fake, horribly French fake French accent.
It's awesome. That's part of it.
No, I know, and that's why I need to give it another shot. Because Steve Martin, oh, he was in the Da Vinci Code genre now.
Oh, that's right. Yes, he was.
Yeah, played Fouch or whatever his name was. Yeah, Fosh. Anyways, yeah, no, I need to give those another look. But yeah, Jean Reno, I don't, you know, he's one of those people that I believe it. You know,
I actually didn't think he was great in this movie.
what did you not like about it?
I don't know. Maybe it's just him being a bad guy, and I was like, oh.
Yeah.
But he just didn't, he didn't move the needle like he normally does for me
Yeah.
in movies. But
I think I'm not saying this is a great movie, obviously, but I think there were a lot of good jobs done to make a good movie. Like, you know, I don't think I don't know if he had to have been good or should have been great. But you know, obviously
Like,
Tom Cruise was very good, but you know, what's her name? Wasn't blowing Miss Senna out of the water, the girl Claire. You know, Ving Rhames good, but he just didn't have as much screen time.
Yeah, I think there's two scenes that give me this opinion of Jean Reno,
Let's hear it.
and that's the one scene is where he is trying to. Where he essentially is like trying to not blackmail Tom Cruise, but he has like the list of names on the disc. Well, he's drinking a beer, and I can't tell if he's trying to act drunk or not. So I don't know, like, is he drunk or he just happens to have a beer and he's fine? Like, that part I didn't understand. And then just the whole helicopter scene. I was like,
Yeah. Oh,
okay, this is not realistic.
You have matured beyond your days. I was fascinated by it, but
Okay.
now I did find myself, and you know, obviously, and Mrs. Cousin Bailey watched this one with me as well. But we were both like she had to close her eyes because she was too like freaked out by the concept of it. I was like, we were both like Tom Cruise did not turn around when he did that flip on top of the bullet train, and he had literally just had a bridge go over his head. So he didn't even look back to see if there was a bridge coming. I didn't like how he dropped his jacket and his tie, but I understood the urgency because he alerted. It was like the problems with that scene was like it was like thank God he caught on to that thing. Thank God he got that ledge at the right time. Thank you know because without any of those moments, I'm not saying they would have gotten away, but he would have been dead. You know, and I think they stretched reality a little too much, which is weird
They didn't.
because you're right, you're right. The movie was just that scene was insane, but it was intense.
I mean, the helicopter didn't crash when the tail rotor like slammed into the top of
Yeah,
the
hit the
tube.
top. Yeah, that
It's
was
like, come on. We're already stretching it saying that the helicopter can fly within the tube,
right.
and now it's slamming up against it. That's
With
fine.
another train going by, like there's enough room. Maybe there's enough room for him if there's no other trains. I didn't understand. Was Jim planning on locking it on, or was that never the Jim was planning on locking himself onto that cable, right? Yeah, because I was watching it and I was like, that is so ridiculous that there is, you know, like, I don't know. I mean, obviously, if it was necessary for Jim to have it, you know, like the cable, like hitch himself on, but I don't know. Yeah, that was. But I mean, since we're talking about the last scene already, so Tom Cruise is wearing a light blue shirt with a silver tie and a dark suit. I love that look, and I wore it on Sunday. I had to go to a funeral, and I wore it on Sunday because we had just watched this movie. And Mrs. Cousin Bailey was like, she nodded in appreciation because I made a huge deal about it. I was like, I love this look. Just give me an overcoat or a raincoat. But it was 95 degrees outside, so that was a terrible idea. But anyways, yeah, so there we are. Yeah, the what were some other like like the, oh dude, I mean, we can't, how can we cannot sleep on the when they make it into CIA headquarters in Langley.
Oh yeah,
They go to
yeah.
William Donlow's. I do have some issues there. Claire was right up on his nuts
Yeah.
in the break room.
Right.
I mean, even now we're post-COVID, so like I was getting like the heebie-jeebies of someone being that close to me, but even then.
Well, I'm like, these are, I mean, granted, not all CIA folks are trained the same, but you'd kind of be like, what the fuck are you doing
Right.
next to me? I mean, maybe he thought she was attractive and was like, okay, like, I'm fine with that, you know? But,
Yeah. Boy, they sure picked a good dumpy looking guy.
oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's why, that's because my wife was, Mrs. Cousin Bailey was like, come on. And I'm like, that guy's lonely.
He's very lonely.
Yeah,
He's
you can.
got midlife crisis written all over his face.
Yeah, there's
Yeah.
no way that he wouldn't have at least been like, and she's like, well, why isn't he talking to her? I'm like, do you see this guy? I mean, like, he's not
Yeah.
talking to her.
No.
He's just happy she's there. I'm surprised he's able to stand up. Perceived boner is what I was getting at. So
Yes, I
she
know. He can do the
poisons
elastic
him.
touch. Tuck, sorry.
Yeah, that's true. So elastic touch. So she poisons him. He's throwing up. That scene was legit. I the rat was a little too convenient. It
Yeah.
had to be done. I still don't buy that there's a rat running around there.
It could be.
That's true.
There's rats everywhere at CIA.
Yeah, but it but
Heyo.
hey yo. But what I mean by that is like that means that with the availability of all the sensors for it to trip at any moment.
Right. Yeah.
Like I remember my dad's the office building that we own actually, but like when they first got their first security system in with the motion detectors, ants were setting it off all the time. Like in the middle of the
Yeah.
night, he'd get a call. Like, I mean, this is when I was in college and then, off up north. But I remember my mom would be like, oh, your dad got woken up. My mom's not from the Midwest. I don't know why I always do this accent for her, but like, well, your dad got woken up in the middle of the night and he had to go to the office. And I'm like, and I think they determined that it was freaking ants. I mean, this is Florida. There are ants in everyone's home. I'm sorry to freak you out,
Yeah.
but so I'm just saying the rat in the most secure air duct in the most secure area for the most secure room in Langley, the most
Right.
secure, theoretically one of the most secure buildings in the world, has a
Yep.
rat. Now maybe that was a euphemism.
Been.
Yeah,
Could
because
have
Ethan Hunt. I'm sorry to put it this way, but Tom Cruise can look like a rat.
Yeah.
That nose and
Yeah.
the
Yeah.
teeth,
And the teeth, yeah. No, I'm right there. I don't get it. I don't get it.
But Jean Reno kills the rat, loses the rope, and then I don't know, and he drops him within like 2 inches of the
Yeah.
ground, which was an incredible shot.
Yeah. He put British pounds in his shoes so he could balance, because he was
Oh, really?
they kept shooting it, and he'd go down and he would like his body weight wasn't balanced or whatever wasn't balanced, and he kept like smashing his face into the ground.
No shit.
Like, not like hard, but
No,
it
no, no,
kept like
but that was the problem.
yeah. And so Tom Cruise was like, hey, like, give me some coins. And they filmed that part in London, and so they had a bunch of British pounds, and he put a bunch of British pounds in his shoes, and that counterbalanced them. So when they dropped down, he was able to stay level.
No kidding.
Yeah.
And I love that that was a legit scene then. I
Yeah.
presumed it was, and but that's great. That's great that that's how they did that. I do have a little problem with it though. Not the filming and certainly not the stunt, but Ving Rhames's character, Luther, is stressed out, right? Because he theoretically sees the sweat.
Yeah, I got that
Why was
too.
he at all? I mean, I know he of course should be stressed,
Right.
but he there's a legitimate sigh of relief or
Right.
sign of relief, sigh or sign, when he catches the
When he
sweat
catches the
drop.
bead of dr yeah, the bead of sweat that falls, yeah.
But how
I
would he have
noticed
seen
that
it?
too.
Because the camera is supposed to be in the middle,
Right.
So,
Yeah, I don't know.
whatever. I mean, I'm not, listen. And that's what I said to Mrs. Cousin Bailey. I was like, I've always had a problem with this, but I don't care. You know, that scene was too intense.
So, with that scene,
Yes.
does it still hold up as the most iconic scene of all of the movies?
No, it can't. It can because of its authenticity, the way you described it, you know, like that it was a real stunt and that it kind of set in motion. And the other ones, like, I mean, I described one earlier where he was hanging from a jet or a
No,
cargo plane. So that one got a lot of play. There's another one where he drives a motorcycle off of a cliff in order to catch a plane. And I'm not saying that that was totally real, but, or maybe he drives it off the cliff with a parachute. I can't remember exactly because I might be mixing it up with GoldenEye. Because in GoldenEye, the scene was not done authentically, but Pierce Brosnan's character for James Bond does drive a motorcycle off of a cliff and then whatever. But in Fallout, which is the one that I couldn't remember the name of with, Henry Cavill, he does a legitimate helo jump, and he also falls from a helicopter. Sorry, my dog just showed up and freaked me the fuck out. Anyways, so they're just that I think like that is an iconic scene in cinema, but he has trumped it.
No, I get that. Like and I understand that.
So I don't know, maybe I misunderstood the question.
But do you think, how can I frame this? When you think of Mission Impossible, what scene from the
Right.
Incredible Things, like, do you think of? Is it that scene?
Yeah.
Or is it the C-130 scene? Or
Unfortunately, recency bias leads me to the other one, the newer ones. I mean, there's like I watched, you know, behind the scenes and other of these movies as well. And everyone knows this, but like in Rogue Nation, I think he's running and he jumps from a building to another building. And in that scene, the take they used, he twists and actually breaks his ankle as he is like just almost missing the building, getting onto the building, like his foot and ankle. They use that clip in the movie, so now that you know that, and if you ever watch it, you'll see that happen. But it might actually that might be Ghost Protocol, but regardless. But he was off. They had to shut down filming for like 2 weeks or 3 weeks in order for him to heal. I mean, you've broken your ankles before. And as have I mean, that is painful. It's not, it does get better. But I mean, you know, he snapped. Oh God. I mean, just thinking about it. I mean, like, you know, his ankle just goes in. So like my problem is like that, you know, I'm very in tune with like a lot of these scenes, especially like the major special effects that he did on his own, authentically. And so it's tough. It's tough to say that because, I mean, you know, you've only seen this one, right?
Yeah, that's
So,
it.
you know, I'm not saying it's easier. I mean, it is. I'm not dismissing it, but it's easy for you to be like, this is incredible. It's an iconic scene.
Well,
Once we just
I'm not
go.
saying that he hasn't topped it. I'm not
Yeah.
saying that
You're just saying
the
because of.
level of difficulty, and maybe it is because I've only seen
Yeah.
this one movie, but like to me, it's like, okay, like that's like that the like that's the Because when they were advertising it, when it first came out, like that was all they showed, right? And it
Yeah,
was like
yeah.
everywhere, that picture. So I don't know, maybe it's just, I
I mean, like, dude,
don't know.
it's iconic. It's wonderful. I totally agree with you. It's and maybe just like a still of it, you know, maybe not even like the scene itself, maybe just like a still or like, you know, of him, you know, balancing himself. I mean, that's incredible. Totally agree with you. So I don't even know if I'd call it a stunt, you know, like that is it's just an iconic moment, scene, slash still of the entire thing. It could probably stand up against the other ones, sure. I mean, we could do a poll sometime, like a little bracket,
Yeah, maybe.
podcast of like iconic stunts that have ever occurred. Because I mean, we mentioned Ronin earlier. I mean, there was incredible drive scenes. I don't know if you
Yeah.
remember that. I mean, those were all real too.
Yep.
So, anyways.
Not done by De Niro, though.
No. I mean, they were they had a stunt driver next to
Right.
them. They were like they were it was I've unfortunately read up a lot on Ronin.
Okay.
Well, that was a movie we'll never do. But yeah. It's a tough question, but I mean, long and the short of it is it's an iconic moment, but unfortunately, like, you have to include the fact that other stunts are, I mean, shit, he did like these motorcycle stunts in Rogue Nation, I think. I don't know. They all kind of run together. It's not a good idea.
Yeah.
It's not a good thing. Have you ever heard of Rebecca Ferguson?
Yes, I've heard the name.
She's an actress who's very fit. And I mean, I think she might be an MMA, or I don't know if she's actually an MMA, but she's like, Mrs. Cousin Bailey doesn't like how much I like her. So
Okay.
that's funny. I find that funny because she's a Hollywood British actress, never gonna see. But anyways, I don't know. She's in a number of these movies as well as they go
But
through.
not this one.
Not this one, but I'm just
Okay.
saying that's someone to keep an eye out for when you're old enough.
Okay. Not this one. I do have a question for you, though.
No more segues, Cousin Bailey.
I do have a question for you. When Claire puts that stuff into the midlife crisis guy's coffee, you think she may have put some other stuff in it to make it taste a little bit better in that little injection?
Because he is a CIA operative.
He
I mean,
is.
officer, I should say. I mean, he's
Yeah.
not, he would taste poison.
I think so.
It's not Iocane from The Princess Bride.
No.
So you're wondering if maybe like she had to mask it.
Yeah. With some good flavor, good taste and
Good
stuff.
fucking flavor, man. How about some spice?
Yeah, let's kick it up.
I mean, this guy is lonely.
He wants a spice latte. That's what he
This
wants.
guy wants a little spice. Variety is, as they say, the spice of life. He needs some variety. And it's not coincidental that this portion of Automatic Rewind is brought to you by Pandemic Sauce Company. Amidst a worldwide pandemic and lockdown, with Mission Impossible enough to mix some of these juices and peppers in his kitchen, he discovered a knack of combining this variety to create some unique poison masking barbecue sauces. After sharing these sauces with CIA operatives and officers and family and friends, he has now decided to share them with the rest of the world, the goal to become your new special agent favorite sauce. Enter code Automatic Rewind at checkout for a discount. This is Pandemic Sauce, pandemicsaucecompany.com. Enter code Automatic Rewind at checkout for a discount. Okay, God, that was terrible. I mean, in my defense, it is hard to do a read for a movie where there's zero eating.
Yeah, that's true. That was
That was
bad.
a, I mean, listen,
That's bad.
it was a hell of a segue by you.
Thanks.
I couldn't turn it into liquid gold, well, verbal gold. I thought that Subway one was.
Oh, Subway one was fantastic.
I was I really wanted a Subway sandwich.
Oh,
Not just
yeah.
necessarily after my read, but after that movie.
Yeah. Totally agree.
But I mean, what? What am I? I want some bland ass office coffee with a little bit of poison in it. I'll take some pandemic sauce. Hell
Yeah.
yeah. But
So I do have a question though. Like
sure.
that read was so bad. I don't know what we were talking about before.
Yeah, that wiped my brain. Once I
Okay.
got poisoned.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, we were talking about stunts, and then I mean, but we, like the knife. How did you like that? The knife falling, landing. I mean, did that bother you a little?
A little bit. It was all perfectly timed, which I get that, but
It wasn't intentionally purposefully timed. It was.
no, but it was perfectly timed. My question though is, and maybe I missed it, how'd they get out of there?
So they went back to they dressed back up as
Yeah, the
firefighters.
firefighters. Yeah, they had the smoke going.
Yeah.
And that was it. Okay.
And then they were like, "Oh, there's a fire alarm. Oh, it's bullshit. Oh, now there's smoke. Thank God the firefighters are still on scene but yet leaving."
Right.
'Cause that was weird.
That was a little wonky.
'Cause I was sitting there talking to Mrs. Cuz. I was like, "Well, are they going to like pass by fire engine heading that direction?" You know, and he had the whatever, the knock list. I know there's a that means something, doesn't matter to us. It's this very secret list. And they went back, I don't know, not necessarily back, but they went to London and they were in a rental that was undercover, sleeping on sleeping bags and floors with paper. Luther looked like he was work tending bar. I kind of liked that little setup. But that's when he goes, Ethan goes to whatever local train station because his mother and uncle are being drugged before the court because for cooking some fictitious drug, which I mean I just took to be meth. And so he goes to call Kittredge to let him know that they're London and blah blah blah. And the next day, the Channel, that's where the handoff is going to take place. And that's when we get revealed that Claire was part of the conspiracy, confirm rather.
Confirm,
Yeah, I do like how Ving Rhames leaves his little like blocker cell phone and that fucking nosy
the attendant
ticket
or
taker or
whatever.
whatever. Yeah. So you forgot your telephone. And then there's a part where he's like walking past and all these people's phones are dying because the signal gets interrupted. And I heard it like maybe not the first time I saw it, but like, you know, one of the subsequent watches or there's a guy, I don't know if you heard him, but he goes, "I can't hear anything." Yeah.
I
And I
did not.
said that right before, and I got a minor chuckle out of Mrs. Cousin Bailey because we also watch it with subtitles because, you know, we're over 40. And I don't know if y'all do that, but
No.
now, why would you?
We're over 40. We don't.
Yes, I understand that. I'm wishing I hadn't said that last part. But no, we watch subtitles, and it's actually an art to not watch the subtitles so you don't get spoiled on certain things. But I don't even know why we still have them on, frankly. But it's just the way the world that works. But this one guy in the background, "I can't hear anything." Like, you fucking little British bastard. Speaking of British proper behavior, have you been watching Wimbledon at all? The tennis tournament?
Not really.
Okay, well, I'm fascinated by that tournament, the Grand Slams.
I mean, I'm
But
following it, but not watching it.
did you hear about the during one of the quarterfinal rounds, I think somebody popped a bottle of champagne right during one of the young lady's serves,
No.
and the announcer or excuse me, the judge had to say, "Please refrain from popping champagne during the play." And it's gotten around as basically like the most British thing that could have possibly happened, you know, like during Wimbledon, somebody pops champagne during someone's serve. It was incredible. It makes me just want to go to that tournament more and more every time I watch it. I have a seersucker suit. I know that's not British, but it's very springy and summery. Quite summery. It's a summer suit. And I want to go. But anyways, but that's been, I can't hear anything. All right. Anyways, so yeah, blah blah blah, Ving Rhames and Kittredge is there, and then they confront Jim, and then they have the helicopter nonsense.
The so maybe I how did Kittredge find out? How was Kittredge on board with it?
So he when Ethan at the train station called him,
He knew
cut
that
off.
Right, he cut off before he knew where he was at, but
And
they knew he was in London.
as soon as they landed, they received a package. He and
Oh.
Dale die, and it had two tickets to the Channel,
Right,
and
yes.
oh, and a watch,
Right.
one of their fancy
Oh,
little
that's right. So
watches.
they could
Yeah.
watch everything.
So
Okay.
then,
That's right.
when Ethan
Okay.
puts the things on, he goes,
Yeah.
"Good
Yeah.
morning, Mr. Phelps." Like,
Yeah.
that's how all the "Good morning, Mr. Phelps.
Yeah.
This mission, if you choose to accept it, blah blah blah." And so he gave the wonderful line. Knowing now that Jim's alive, therefore Ethan has mostly exonerated himself as the
Right.
mole. Yeah.
Right.
So.
Why did Jim shoot Claire?
It's incredible. That means he's been a bad guy the whole time.
Right.
Because that means that his like love story, how he saw her in a cafe, which I thought was crazy because Jim was recruiting Ethan, or at least training Ethan, when they were in a cafe and they saw Claire, right? Her was he telling a story about how they met or how he saw her after he was supposedly dead? I can't remember. The whole thing is just a little too unnecessary, but yeah, he kills his wife, meaning he's always been a bad guy. Because I thought his argument was that like they're not getting paid enough.
Yeah, the Cold War's over, not getting paid.
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It was weird. It meant like that everything Ethan knew about his mentor was a lie. Because, yeah, he just murders his wife in cold blood.
Yeah. I wonder if some of these issues come because they didn't have a script. They kept firing writers,
Oh,
and
really?
they didn't have a script before they started like production.
Yeah, that's
So
usually not a good sign. That's a
no.
I former plank owner.
Yeah.
Is that right? Of the Bourbon Boys, Larry Borkesdorf and I used to joke about how I think it was the third installment of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. I don't know if you've ever
What's
seen those
that? Yeah,
movies.
well, I've seen all of them.
I've seen them all, but there is a the it's Pirates of the Caribbean, The Curse of the Black Pearl. Then there's Dead Man's Chest. And then there's World's End or something like that.
Yeah.
That one is so dumb because it's like double cross after double cross after double cross. And to me, if you have to like have 45 double crosses, that's not the sign of a good writing situation. And I
Right.
believe that movie started without a script or final script. And I'm weary of it. I mean, now that I know that this movie had it, I'm like, hey, cool, you know?
That was you said the third installment or the fourth installment?
The third installment.
At World's End.
Yeah, that's the one that
Yeah.
was
And
so
they,
stupid with
yeah.
that whirlpool and they somehow make it
Yeah.
out of. I'm like,
Yeah. I
I
don't know
thought the
what that
nature
was.
of a whirlpool is you're fucking done.
Yeah.
If my irrational fears from childhood are right, then quicksand and whirlpools are you're done.
Yeah.
So, anyways, yeah, I mean the point is
Can't have that
you're
script done.
you gotta but I mean, but obviously, like I said, this movie seemed to work out. You know, the our biggest complaint is the huge BS stunt at the end with the helicopter, right? I mean,
Yeah. Yep.
right? Isn't that your biggest complaint?
Yeah, I would say that's probably my biggest complaint. I can like
And
everything else I can kind of be like, okay, like I get
yeah.
it. That one I'm like,
The thing that makes me curious, and I don't know, I'm not an assassin, so I know I'm tough. I know I sound like a badass on this show, but Jean Reno's character, Krieger, he fancies those knives.
Yes.
He's got to have that knife in everything he does. It's not retractable, it's not a switchblade, it's not foldable, it is a stiletto mounted, I don't know how to describe it. And he has the same knife every time. And that, because that was the cue to Ethan that he was a bad guy.
Right.
Krieger. Oh, and he was in on it. Claire hired him.
Yeah.
Krieger was my call.
Yeah.
And that sleight of hand that Ethan did was legit. I don't know. It's just I just thought that was weird that he had the same knife.
Yeah.
I don't
You would
know.
think that a spy would know better than
Right. I mean, you're
to.
trying to hide your tracks.
Right.
You've
Yes.
left. And I don't know, is that a good idea to leave the murder weapon at the scene? Is it a calling card?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. I listen, whatever. We could go on and on about the faults of Jean Renel's Krieger, but
So I really only have one more question to ask, one more
let's hear
topic,
it.
get your opinion on, or if you maybe have any insight into it, because I don't. Apparently, Cruise and De Palma had a falling out
No.
over this
No.
film.
No.
No, because he
It
wasn't
would
asked to come back.
no, and it would make sense why De Palma's catalog is a little more sparse after this movie.
Yeah,
Like, wouldn't you say Tom Cruise was a rising star?
I think he was very much an established star.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe he was beginning his arc, but I don't know.
On the upswing. You know what's funny? Something you mentioned earlier, and this is the last thing I'm going to say, but you said how Emilio Estevez, in order to subvert expectations, was they needed a big time actor to get killed in the beginning of this movie.
Yeah.
And this is 1996. Scream.
Yes.
Did we mention that earlier?
We didn't, but
Okay.
I read that too.
Oh,
Same
I
thing.
didn't. I just that occurred to me. Drew Barrymore gets killed in the very beginning, 1996. I mean, what a, I don't know if that's a coincidence or not, but that's an interesting little twist of fate. But my point about the thing you just mentioned was like, does that mean De Palma, like, did he sabotage his career? Or, I mean, because like he had, after this, he had Snake Eyes, Mission to Mars, Bruce Springsteen, Femme Fatale, never heard of it, Black Dahlia, You Said Sucks, Redacted, never saw it, Passion, never saw it, Domino, I have zero interest in. So, and that was it, man.
Yeah. He was getting older too. I mean,
He ain't dead, bruh.
I know he's not dead, but he's getting older, right? Like, how old is he in
Yeah.
96?
How old is he right now?
I don't know.
1940. Oh, God, he was born on September 11th. Poor bastard. Maybe he doesn't care.
So he was 56. So, I mean,
He had his whole life ahead of him.
maybe.
He is kind of like a couple hit wonder, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, and I don't mean he hasn't had successful movies. I just mean we named like there's four that like I really like, you know, or will I mean will watch. You know, I think I might be I think I was because the way he like filmed some of this and the way he filmed Untouchables, I was confusing him a little bit with Michael Mann, who did the Miami Vice, and he also did Manhunter, which had a very Miami Vice feel to it. It was Red Dragon before Red Dragon was Red Dragon. Anyways, because for a second I was like, oh, Kristen Ta Scott Thomas, but no, she was in the remake of Manhunter, which was Red Dragon playing the blind lady. So I think that's what kind of caused me a little trip up there, but I don't know. Is this the kind of movie you're going to watch again, or what do you think?
Well, I think this is a good movie. Like, I don't
Yes.
want, like, I probably from what I've been saying, it doesn't sound like I think it is. I think it's a good movie, but you have to be ready for already knowing what's going to happen. Like, there's nothing that's going to, from a plot line, that's going to surprise you. I mean, maybe Emilio Estevez dying at the beginning, but
But you have to
no.
know who Emilio Estevez is. I mean, I feel like
Right.
half the people watch it, listen, not listening, but like alive today don't know who he is.
Yeah, I mean, people, if you haven't seen Men at Work, what are you doing? But
Seriously. I love
but
that movie.
it's awesome. I love it.
I quote it all the
The
time.
Estevez brothers. But I'm a phrenologist.
What's a
But
phrenologist? I believe that's size, the shape of Walt's asshole. Anyways, sorry, continue.
yeah. But no, like you have to know what you're getting into with one of these spy movies. And I said this to you earlier in the green room, but it's weird for me because it feels like it's modern enough that the special effects should be better.
Yeah.
But I have to remind myself that this is the mid-90s, and although it was good for the time, it's not, that leap that we made as humankind for special effects in movies doesn't
Yeah.
happen for another 5 to 7 years after this movie's made. So you just have to, for me, I have to put that in perspective. And if I do all that, I'm like, you know what? This is a good movie. It's a good movie. It's entertaining. It absolutely
Yeah.
is. So, yeah.
So you remember the beginning when and then we subsequently find out that Jim has faked his death on the
Correct.
bridge, and like he's using he's using the perspective of his glasses, which Ethan is seeing. So he's looking up, you see like a shot, he looks up, and then he grabs the blood packet, and then he rips off his gloves. And I thought that that was so clever. That whole concept, it like transcended like special effects, the need for special effects, like it was a practical effect inside of a movie,
Right.
which I thought was like almost like I don't want to say like fourth dimensional, but I mean it was just so wild to me, and I really appreciated the subterfuge created by that moment alone. Because it just articulated like how what a good spy Jim was, that
Right.
he came
Yeah.
up with this plan, and we kind of needed to know that. And I think that that's something that the movie didn't really, they drop little hints that Jim was such a good blah blah blah, spy, he like something I caught this time thanks to subtitles was that conversation that he and Ethan had later on when Jim was pretending to have been shot. And he's pretending to be wounded, and he is like, coughing, that cough. And he says, he's like, you knew I'd come back to London because I like the rentals or whatever. The whatever. And he goes, I taught you. He goes, knew it. I taught you that. And
Right.
it's just like, I feel like there were they there were subtle nods that I missed every other time I've seen this movie about. And until I rewatched it and like kind of hopefully had a more critical eye and needed to realize that Jim was the shit before he got a little old and Ethan came along, right? Isn't that what you're getting at? I mean, I mean, you think that, right?
No, I didn't put too much thought into it.
I'm not saying you put a lot of thought to it, but I mean, does that make sense though?
It makes sense. Yeah, it
Yeah.
makes sense. It's just he also forgot that the Gideons stamp every one of their Bibles.
They stamped it, didn't it?
But
Damn
yeah.
Gideons. Yeah. I mean, why would you like, he wasn't prone to quoting scripture, right?
No,
So
he
why
wasn't.
did he bring the Bible?
I don't know.
If he was just, damn it. Now we're shooting holes in this movie that I like. I mean, because all he did was call himself Job, but it could have been Job.
Could have been job, yeah.
Why did he? I mean, like that was something that was confusing because I was like, why is he calling himself Job 3:14? All right. I mean, I like it. I'll watch it again. Probably, like as I've said in on previous podcasts, I'm glad we had an excuse to watch a movie again. Because I
Yeah.
liked it, but it has reinvigorated or reignited rather my interest in the series. I know you've never seen them. My quick synopsis is 2 is not good, not worth watching. Tanny Newton's in it. Big
Okay.
fan of hers. In 3 it has Michelle Moynihan. Monahan.
Okay. Yeah.
We did her in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. I'm a huge fan of hers.
Yeah, she's a.
She's just all right to
Yeah.
my esteemed colleague. She and then after that, they're way more huge scale action movies.
Okay.
I would say the last one like this is 3, and it's got Philip Seymour Hoffman in it, playing a sinister bad guy.
Okay, I can deal with. I like Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah, you might wanna, I don't know, you might wanna just peruse or skim through two, but watch three. Three is intense. It's got a lot of notes of this one.
Okay.
And then after, like I said, four, five, six, and I guess seven, eight, they're all just huge scale action movies with spy twists. Kind of like what's happened with James Bond. Like they've gotten hugely budgeted. So, anyways, whatever. But yeah, overall, I like it. So.
Okay. Well, yeah. I think that's it. You got any closing comments,
Yeah,
bud?
absolutely. I want to thank our sponsor, Pandemic Sauce Company. That's pandemicsaucecompany.com. Enter code automatic rewind at checkout for a discount. And I promise next week I'll do a better read. Don't forget to like, subscribe, rate, follow, share this episode with your friends and family and all episodes. And if you have any movie suggestions for us to review, send them to me, Cousin Bailey, CUZZINBAILEY at gmail.com, or reach out to us on the gram at automatic rewind, one word, or on X at Gus and Cuz.
As Cuz said, next week, as you can see, we're trying to crank these out a little bit more frequently. So no, this is awesome.
Yes.
Always happy to do it, and I think that's it. No tease for our next one because we still don't know what it is. So get those suggestions in. But
Yeah, come on, shoot us an email.
for Cuz, I'm Gus. We're out.